Okay. Good morning. We've got communion today, so let's begin with a word of prayer and have a few hymns and then get to work in our study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for that we get to learn things about you and your plan, the Old Testament and the New. Father, we pray this morning we'll be glorifying to you and glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's begin with a hymn.
This hymn is He Lives, 438. 438. He Lives.
Serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today.
I know that he is
living, whatever men may say.
I see
his hand in mercy,
I
hear his voice of cheer.
And
just the time I need him, he's always here. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me on my narrow way. He lives, salvation's good and far.
Ask me
how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair.
From 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and Sudnithus, whoever that is, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints, by calling, with all who in every place call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and knowledge. Even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm to you the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right, would you please join us in turning to 352, Psalm 352, I'm Thine, O Lord.
I'm Thine, O Lord, I have heard Thy voice, and it told Thy love to me. I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed voice of love.
Okay. I got a thing I want to talk about in a moment, but we'll take our prayers and things. First of all, let's talk about your brother.
Bobby, I spoke to him this morning. He's doing better. His voice sounded stronger. But he does need prayer that they're still trying to determine if the leak has closed in his spine. And so they're going to go do another MRI. We need to pray that it does close so that they don't have to do another surgery.
Will they know if it closed after the MRI?
I don't know. They keep checking. They say they will, but I think they should be able to tell just from the fluid that's leaking out, you know, if it stops flowing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's the plan. And the doctor said this morning they're going to proceed with therapy anyway. They're not going to wait. They've been waiting to see, but I think they're going to start moving with therapy next week. But pray, because he's not using his hands and feet or anything right now.
Okay.
So he needs to get better movement and get that.
So how is he doing daily?
That's I've only seen him once. I'm getting updates from his wife and talk to him. He calls me daily, but he seems all right. We need to pray that he keeps his spirits up, though, because that's, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Just continue the prayers for sure. He's got a long road ahead once he starts that therapy.
We need to be in prayer for our young people who are at the this afternoon, this morning. And I guess they're through this afternoon, but we'd be in prayer that everything went well for them. We need to be in prayer for Kit and his wife. They are in travel to Boston, and be in prayer for them. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
I put my neighbor on our prayer list. His name is Phil. He went into the hospital with COVID the third week in October. They gave us an update yesterday, which he took 5 steps.
Wow.
And goodness.
That's great.
About how old is Phil?
He's about 57.
Wow. Okay. In prayer. My goodness. Any other prayer? Yes. Yes.
A praise report for Tammy. Her open heart surgery went well.
Went well.
Yeah, so she's home browsing Facebook now.
All right. Any other prayer requests? My good friend, John Hens, and I, we talk often how there are not very many people that come, and the grace of God has been very, very, very gracious to him. A church in his area of the town has become very liberal, and so people are leaving, and some of them are coming to his church, and so we need to be in prayer that they will continue coming and more will come, and so we'll just see what's going on in that respect. So let's be in prayer. We need to be in prayer for Spring Valley Bible Church. I don't know why people are not here, especially on Communion Sunday, but they're not. And the fundamental is, it's my job to be prepared, and it's God's job to decide whether or not people will be here. So that's going to have to be my prayer, but you need to join me in this prayer for these people. I do like one thing, though. That y'all are all right on the right side. Well, he's from the speaker side.
So what does that make me?
You got to tell us what you're doing on that side. Okay. Now, as long as we're going to assemble ourselves, we've got responsibilities. Young people, the internet, and different things that we need to be in prayer for. So let's pray ourselves for the offering. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Spring Valley Bible Church. We are thankful for the opportunities that we have. We are thankful for the young people. Pray that things are coming through according to your plan with them this morning. And Father, we pray that you continue to prosper this assembly. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay?
All right, now that you've had a chance to catch your breath from the last hymn, hopefully one of those record a 45 recorded at 78. This is much slower, much slower. There's an interlude after each verse. Nearer My God to Thee is hymn number 333. Would you please join me in singing 333, Nearer My God to Thee.
Morning, and maybe next Sunday I'm going to have to decide what I'm going to be doing about this. But if you wish, let's open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. And what we're going to do is we're going to study the passage dealing with communion and getting to communion. So right now we're going to start at verse 17. 1 Corinthians 11:17. And the problem is in the local church. And to make matters worse, it is the assembly worshiping. And they just are having continual problems. And they kind of reminded me of the Republicans, but that's a whole other deal. So let's begin with the word of prayer. and then get into our study, and then we'll have communion, and then fellowship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the pleasure to come and worship with one another. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 11, 17. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Now, look back at verse 2. Look back at verse 2. Same chapter, but verse 2. Now I praise you. Now I praise you. Now in verse 17, I do not praise you. Now, pay close attention and learn. What is the fundamental problem at this assembly? The fundamental problem, they are not applying the doctrine that they learned. They learned well. They learned a lot, but they're not applying it. In verse 2, Paul praises them in that they hold firmly to the doctrines. Look at verse 2. This is what he praises them for. Hold firmly to the doctrines. Now, that he's been teaching. He's been teaching some good. We should spend some time in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, all of chapter 1, where it's all about how wonderful this assembly is. But right now, they're not. And so in verse 17 and following, they are living like a bunch of sinners. And this, in fact, we're going to get real bad in here. This is a major problem in the Bible church movement today. Many believers are learning a lot of sound doctrine from pastors, but do not live in accordance with the doctrine that they're learning. Of course, living by truth depends upon their ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's their problem. That's their great issue. Learning and being filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Now, so in verse 2, they are praised because they hold firmly to sound doctrine. Paul is teaching. But in verse 17, he does not praise them because when they come together to worship, that's what they came to do, to worship, they act like heathens. Now verse 17 again, but in giving this instruction, now note the word carefully, this. The note this instruction. This refers to all the discussion on women's hair that's been going on about who's filled with the Holy Spirit is not, speaking in tongues and not, and all this type of thing that's been going on. When they come together to worship, it isn't to worship. And he will move into another facet of worship, the Lord's table. Now, this group of believers do not understand and handle correctly behavior in worship from general worship to the Lord's table. There is proper dress. There is proper behavior for worship. This instruction, but is giving this instruction, this is an interesting verb in the Greek. It is a compound verb made up of the prefix para, P-A-R-A, to the side of, plus a verb to tell, to declare, to pass on, to announce, to give a word to someone nearby. So the ideal is you do this with each other, side by side. When I was young, we used to play a game, interesting game we had, and we'd all come together, and one person, the first person, was told some story, something that had happened. And then they would pass it out, 25, 30 young people, come together, we'd come together, and you'd just pass it to the next person. And let me tell you something, by the time it got ended, it wasn't anything near the message that was told. But this is the Word of God, and it's not funny. And this is why it is so important that a pastor teacher studies diligently in the original language, if possible, and passes it on in truth. He does not get a chance to embellish it, change it over a little bit. He is to tell it just the way it is given in the Scriptures is what he's to teach. Now, verse 17, but in giving this instruction, I do not praise you. This is the same word Paul used in verse 2 for praise. It means to applaud. Commend. Only now it is with the negative. I do not praise you. I do not commend you. And why not? Look what it says. Because you come together not for the better, but for the worst. They do not come to their worship service to worship God. That's what they're supposed to come for, but that's what they're not doing. And they're not there to glorify Jesus Christ. They do not gather to learn the Word of God. They do not come together to things that they know about Jesus Christ and advance on their knowledge of God and on the plan of God. And an issue here, not to observe the Lord's table. This is what is amazing in our study. Not to sing praises to God, but to come together to bicker, to judge one another, to separate with one another, to cause one another division. Now, note how Paul words it, not for the better, but for the worst. We have the two comparative adjective nouns, better, worse. For better refers, of course, to that which is superior. Better, more advantageous to people. It comes from the root meaning strong, righteous, powerful. In the New Testament, it has reference for example, in 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 9, better to marry than to burn. Better to marry than to burn. Then in chapter 12, verse 31, how we are to desire the better, the superior gifts, not speaking in tongues. But we should desire the better gifts. Then we come then and inform the imperatives. The comparatives is given alive here on the earth and being with Jesus Christ. In fact, Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, to depart and be with the Lord. That's better. For that is very much better than being here on earth. Another interest is in 1 Peter chapter 3:17, where it is better to suffer for righteousness than to suffer for crimes. It may seem that it is better that when you are suffering for something you've committed, that it's bad. But when you suffer and you've not done anything bad, this is a little tough. When you suffer for Jesus Christ's sake, it's for your advantage, and you get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, one more thing in this area. If you decide that you really want to study something better as composed compared to something not as good, go to the book of Hebrews, which we have just begun studying, where there are so many things better for the church age than for age of Israel. The system of the church age is better than the system of Israel. For an example, one, we have a Lord who is superior to angels. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7. We have better things accompany our salvation. 6:2, like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 3, a better hope. Chapter 7, verse 19. A better covenant. Chapter 7, verse 22. Better promises. Chapter 8, verse 6. So, you can see in 1 Corinthians 11:17, this word refers to a something better, something more profitable when you do so worship to the Lord. It should be better. It should be better. Profitable to you to learn, to worship these things. But that is not what is going on in the church of Corinth. Actually, instead of being for their spiritual profit, it actually sets them back spiritually from worse, the Greek comparative adjective worst, inferior, and purpose of the advent of the assembly. What's the purpose of the assembly? Let's know two things. Purpose of the assembly: one, to grow in the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of the Word of God. Secondly, encourage one another in songs and hymns. Colossians 3:15. Let the word of Christ richly dwell, this is Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and scripture and spiritual songs and singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Now, we've spent word on those words, but we'll come back and look at them again. But it is not much better singing just for the sake of singing. There are some people who are not even Christians that are better singers. But there are Christians who sing in the planning and the Word of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. That's what's important. God isn't concerned about whether you're that great. It's about, is there singing, thanksgiving in your heart to God? Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14:15. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is the outcome here then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the mind also. For the singing is for even the noise of it is for the joyful to the God. It would be much better just singing for the Lord than singing wonderfully in the words and the sounds. Now, purpose of the local church. Purpose of the local church. One, to grow in knowledge of God. Knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowledge of the Word of God. Two, encourage one another in song and hymns. Three, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together. So we're not to forsake it as we've been doing around here. And but encouraging one another, and all the more to come to see the day of the drawing of the Lord. Now, four, preparation of future pastors and evangelists and deacons, ministers in church. This is what we should be doing, getting these things ready for the future. But we're not. Five, function of spiritual gifts. Pastor teacher in his study. Visiting, taking care of things at church. The different people in the church doing different things. A local church is not a social club or a Lonely Hearts Club. It's a place where people come together to worship God. That's what it's for. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. But in giving this instruction from God, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Now, local assembly of believers should be for the assembly of the advancement of their spiritual life, yours and mine. In so many areas, God on Jesus Christ, as a church meant and meeting together for the spiritual health of the individual. But when these believers meet, this is not a happening, it's a damage in their spiritual life. Now, just to add it, there are not many people here, but at least we're here for the good purpose. These believers that we're studying are noisy, are legalist, trying to run each other's lives, defeating with each other, descending with each other, and I used to have a deacon, never forget him. He made time, he'd come around and speak to people and say, well, his teaching's okay, but when he's on Bible books, but when he's on things, objects, he's not so good. So we need to straighten that out. People, if you think something's not good, talk about it with people in the church, here in the assembly. In other words, even right now, if there needs something we need to be doing, if it's something I need to be doing, maybe it's time I no longer teach. If that's it, then let me know. If I'm not teaching the way you want, let me know. Whatever it is we need to be doing to get some people back, to get people here, all here. Even if we don't get people back, get some new people in. That's what our job is. So let's do that. Now, divisions in the local church. 1 Corinthians 11, 18. For, in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And in part, I believe it. Division may be good in politics, but not in a local church. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together for, not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, and the most obvious place, when you come together as a church, in assembly, one another, for this purpose of worshiping, in context, to worship God, to praise Jesus Christ, to learn the Word of God, to learn more about Jesus Christ and salvation, His friendship, His blessings, and His future, to learn of the Holy Spirit, to learn about each other worshiping God. I hear that divisions exist among you. Now, two things I want you to be sure that I not miss with you. First, this division exists in the church. This exists in the church. Where and when they come together to worship. They're not there. They're not just division in the assembly, but they're in the division in the assembly when they've come together to worship God. They're like today's Republicans. They come together to fight. They do not come together to worship God in the church. Now, they do not come to sing praises or listen to the teaching of the Word of God. Not just once, but all the time. Not just once in a while, but all the time. I continually hear. Now, that's what Paul says. Look like it or not. Here's the deal. People are going to talk. People are going to talk. You got to know this. It starts at home. It starts with your children. And the point is, you can preach to them, talk to them, they're still going to do it. They're still going to talk. It happens. They're going to talk. Yes, you teach them what things they should not make make public knowledge, but don't be shocked when it does happen. Husbands are going to talk about their wives, and wives are going to talk about their husbands. People are going to talk about people at work. People are going to talk in life. We have already studied when this is the harm, gossip, slander, maligning, judging, and so forth with one another. But there is also good. People who care about the assembly of the believers probably have gone to Paul. That's what they're doing to Paul. They don't want to cause trouble. They've gone to Paul. Things are not good in Corinth. Remember, he is an apostle over all the churches. So that's all right that they come to him and they want to talk to him. Now, personally notice, I really am thankful when I hear good reports about this assembly right here. I love it. About our studies, our youth programs, missionaries, and so forth. I am so thankful because there have been a few times things in the in the assembly that really could have exploded, but you handle it well. You handle it in grace with one another. And instead you didn't go charging in on what was going on that was bad. You assembled each other in it. So, Paul had heard their reports of division. And he says, in part, I believe it. What does that mean? This means that with part of this assembly and congregation, Paul believes it is true, but not in everyone that's there, but in some that are there, is trouble. Now, I want to point something important to you. Paul first visits Corinth in March to September of AD 52. Think about that, AD 52. Corinth was first written when he was from Ephesus in 56. He came in 52 and left in September, but in 56 he wrote to them and sent a letter to them, and how wonderful and well prepared they were as an assembly. Chapter 1, unbelievably wonderful chapter. But in just 4 short years, Satan and the flesh nature was ripping the assembly apart. Now, not from Rome, but from within. Some of the great problems in America, not from the outside, right here and within. Principle, it does not take Satan long to move into an assembly and start the fires between one another. So this, we've got to be so careful of these things. 17, verse 17. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worst. Now verse 18. For in the first place, when you come together, come together is what we call the passive voice in the Greek, when they are caused to come together. What is interesting here is, is that even the troublemakers desire to come to the assembly at a church. Here is our word in the church, ecclesia. This certainly doesn't refer to the building. Certainly not here. Which is the way that most people think about church. But that's what the Bible has in store. The church is the people that are inside. That's us, make up the church. That's what makes it up. Now, God, in the study of His Word, and as we will see, this is namely pointed at their celebration of communion. That's why we're here. Now, let's take a look. I constantly hear, continually hear, that divisions exist among you. The Greek word is schisma. Schisma. Let's take a look at that word. Schisma. One, simply placed to start with, we can see it physically, is Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. Tear or rent in a garment. The reason why this is so fresh, picturesque, is that after the cloth is torn, you have two pieces, but still the same material. The unfortunate issue in a church schism is that they're all believers, still in that sense, but they're now divided. Two, a division caused by different opinions. Division caused by different opinions. Three, a division may be good. It may be good. So, let's take a look here. Now we're going to look at the doctrine of schisma. 1. Division or disunion, especially into mutually opposed parties. So that's what a division is. Division of especially into mutually opposed parties. As we will see, this is what we are happening during communion and that we're going to be studying here. Point 2. The Word of God does not condone schisms or divisions in a local church. The Word of God does not condone schisms. Point 3. However, the Word of God does condone and encourage separation. The Word of God does condone separation. Now, point 4. The distinction between these two words, schism and separation, is seen in two different Greek words. The word schisma, division, split, and is always used in a negative connotation in the New Testament. To separate is what is used on the good side in the Bible. 5. The difference is these two words is caused, the cause of division or the cause of separation. Schism, division. What's the main issue there? Me. Me. Self. While separation in the Bible depends on doctrine. Truth is the issue. Truth is the issue. Therefore, point 6, separation, division. Let's take a look. Separation, division. One side separation, other side division. Now, on the left side, basis of separation is truth. Basis of the schism is me, self. 2, the separation is unity, for unity. And the destroy of the negative is to destroy. 3, strengthens. While 3, on the schism, weakens. 4, put emphasis on doctrine, truth, whereas the other way puts emphasis on self. 5, guided by spiritual love for one another. The other, guided by arrogance. Now, point 7. Let's note some passages on the separation. Matthew 13:48-49, Matthew 25:32, Luke 6:22, Acts 19:2, 2 Corinthians 6:17, Galatians 2:12. False doctrine can cause you to separate from truth through legalism. Now, on the good side, such things as Gospel of John 7:43, John 9:16, 1 Corinthians 11:18, 1 Corinthians 11:22. Now, with this in mind, Colossians 3:12. In fact, let's look at Colossians 3:12. We got time. Colossians 3:12. Beyond all these, put on love. Colossians 3:14. Beyond all these, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Also, you can look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, back to our study, point 8. The goal here is not unity in and for itself. It is unity in truth, for spiritual love, just as it should be within the church. If you give up spiritual truth for unity, you lose. If you give up spiritual truth for unity, you lose. To gain a big number of people, you lose. 9.9. The goal of the local church is glorification of God, not the local church for self. 10. The reason for most schisms in the local church is linked to ignorance of truth and our occupation with self and wrongful goals. 11. Schisms start in the mind. In the mind. The place is the place to battle. The mind. 12. Schisms are characterized by ego factions. Emphasis on legalism. Emphasis on self rather than on the Lord. 13. Schisms usually threaten and enter the inner coherence of the local assembly. Schisms usually threaten the inner coherence of the local assembly and therefore interferes with the growth in the Word of God. Now, I've got a little note here. When I was in Europe, went to the Anne Frank Museum. Ever been there? And one of the rooms, you get through it, you start to walk outside. That's where you spend your time, outside. And it had a lot of stuff, large room. And it most related to World War II. Now, what threatened me in this stuff was the great issue, patriotism and nationalism. Patriotism is one who is proud of their own country, while nationalism, you hate other nations. And they would build up on that and work on what was happening in the world at that time. Okay, point 14. Schisms. Let's start with a solution. Solution to schisms. Solution, spiritual love in the Holy Spirit. Solution to schisms, spiritual love in human and the Holy Spirit. Thoughtfulness of others. Their growth in the Word. And growth in the Word of God assembly and the believers. Spreading of the gospel to one another. The local church, Corinth. In Corinth was subject to schisms. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 1:10. We have time, sometime we'll do the whole thing, but let's just take a look at it. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I urge you, brethren, fellow believers, sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there is no division among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, we should spend time just reading the entire chapter 1. We've already read chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, but we should read it all. Now, the ideal here is to form different groups, and others in the Church of Corinth needs to be taken care of, needs to end. They need to do that. I exhort you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, that you all agree that there is no division, no schisms among you. But they were not doing so. So, that you all agree, that is the great issue and the great thing being sought for. Now what we're going to do, I think maybe next week, I'll have to see, we'll finish work chapter 11 down to we get to where it is about the large table. But what getting ready for the large table is what we'll do. Now let's get ready for the large table today here. The large table. Now before we go into the large table, let's begin with a hymn.
Familiar is 111. When I survey the wondrous cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and for contend on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast.
I think everyone here can understand the two elements in communion, the bread and the cup. So let's we'll send the bread first and then we'll send the cup. Okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 that we just studied, it said, I'm in giving this instruction. Now in verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks for the cross, he broke it, the cross, and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It is our custom that everyone hold a cup till everyone has been served. Appreciate Jeff's so enthusiasm for so many people. What was so interesting at John's church, the Sunday that they do their communion, they didn't actually put enough on it because they made enough for their normal number, and there they had about, I think, 10 visitors, and so they had to go back there into the office and we did that here one time. Okay, now with the cup. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, Passover's over, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance, and do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. That there we were, sinners, and your Son was thinking of us, each one of us individually, on the cross. We're so thankful for that at the cross. We're so sorry that there are churches like Corinth in our study in 1 Corinthians 11. Pray, Father, here at this assembly, we glorify Jesus Christ. Father, we pray now that you sanctify this food that we're about to take, fellowship that we're to enjoy. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.